fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A marvelous Monday to you. It is Monday, March the 8th. It is also, as you probably have heard by now because it's been all over the news, it is also International Women's Day. We're going to be talking about that from a Catholic perspective here on the Cale Clark Show. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free number to call. It's totally free. The best things in life are free, and so is this phone call. 1-888, but it's really priceless because you get to talk to us. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call, toll-free. And, of course, you can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We have a show account, too, at Cale Clark Show. An interesting question that I tweeted out, and I'm going to ask you this now on the air, and you can call in, and I want to hear your responses to this. Who is your favorite woman saint on International Women's Day? It's a good time to talk about this. Who is your favorite woman saint? But hang on here. You can't use Mary, because everybody's going to say that, of course. But so I guess that's number two. Who is your second favorite and below? So who is your favorite woman saint outside of Mary, and why? Is there some meaningful personal connection between you and that saint? And by the way, this question is open to both men and women. Guys can have their favorite woman saint as well. So I know that probably Lucas Holt does too, and Patrick Alog, who's screening calls for us. So we'll find out who their favorite female saints are in due time. But really one of the most powerful women saints, especially in modern times, who has really so much to say about femininity in the modern world, and the privilege of, I remember Dr. Alice von Hildebrand, noted Catholic scholar, the husband of the late Dietrich von Hildebrand. She wrote a book once called On the Privilege of Being a Woman. On the Privilege of Being a Woman. I actually gave that book to my wife. I didn't read it myself, so she'll have to tell me later what the privilege is. But anyways, it truly is a call, of course, and femininity, the feminine genius, as St. John Paul the Great called it, is really important to our world. And one of the saints that really brought that out was St. Edith Stein. St. Edith Stein, and she's probably just as well known by her religious name, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. And I just want to share a couple things with you about her. She was born in Germany in 1891, and really, women at that time did not have, obviously, the number of roles they could play in public life that they do today. But she blazed a new trail, and she followed her vocation to study and to teach. And she became a scholar at the highly respected philosophy program at the University of Göttingen in Germany. She got a PhD, and she eventually taught school children and later on converted to the Catholic faith. And she became a discalced Carmelite, or a barefoot Carmelite, if you will, and she entered the religious life. Her life was cut short. Unfortunately, her brilliant life was cut short when she was martyred in a German death camp at Auschwitz during World War II. Because of her Jewish background, she was killed. That's at the end of the day, that's what happened there. And she really, throughout her short life, published quite a bit, and very perceptively, on the topic of women, the vocation of women during the time she had on this earth. And again, Pope John Paul II, who canonized her in 1998, he said, and I quote, "This woman had to face the challenges of this radically changing century that we live in." She's a saint for modern times. And again, great insights on what it means to be a woman, a Catholic woman, in the modern world. Very original feminism, very refreshing. And she's hard to categorize. You can't really put her into a box. And so she's really, really fascinating. And I want to learn much more about her. But let me tell you a little bit about it. This is an essay that I found about her, in which she talked about the two qualities. And this is really what I want to share with you right now. These are according to St. Edith Stein, these are the two qualities that are most common to femininity. But here's the thing. They have a flip side to them. There's a bit of a downside to them. They're great women qualities or female qualities. However, there are pitfalls for each of these qualities that women have to watch out for and avoid. So I'm going to share these with you now. And in order to help me do that, because obviously I'm not a woman, even though I am blessed among women because I live with my lovely wife, Trish, and my beautiful daughter, Michaela, I do have some company. My dog, Egbert, is a male. I can commiserate with him. But I can't speak of that which I do not understand, the inner workings of the feminine genius. I'm now joined by Karen Moran. Hi, Karen. And Karen is also a kindred spirit. She's also a dog lover, a dog person. In fact, after the pandemic is over, there's going to be a battle royale, I think, kind of like a UFC cage match between Karen's dog, Mikey, and my dog, Egbert. They're going to have a cage match to determine who will be the official mascot of the Cale Clark Show.
Who will be the cutest.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough battle. But at any rate, I thought I'd bring Karen on because obviously she can give the feminine perspective on this. And I need to figure out how women think, and fast.
Oh, my goodness.
I've already been married for
six. I do us justice.
Because I've already been – it might be too late for me on one front. I've been married for 16 years this Friday. This Friday is my wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Coming up.
Wow.
March the 12th.
Great.
So I remembered. I remembered. As long as I don't forget between now and then, which could happen.
Cut it on the horizon.
And, of course, my daughter, at some point in the very, very near future, she's going to be a teenager. So I really need to figure out how women think and how to decipher the feminine genius here. So maybe you can help me with this. So let's talk about this. So St. Edith Stein, remember I said there is two feminine qualities that are really, really outstanding, but they also have a bit of a pitfall to each of them. So let's talk about the first one, and it is this. Number one, a woman's attitude is personal. A woman's attitude is personal. So here's what she means by this. She limited herself, St. Edith Stein, to only two criteria of what she called particular significance in differentiating men from women. Her first observation is that women take on a more personal or a subjective approach to things. So this can mean that a woman is happily involved with her total being in what she does, or it can also mean that she has a particular interest for the living, concrete person. Or it could mean both of these things. Now, those are the words of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as Edith Stein. So I'm going to probably be referring to her mostly as St. Edith Stein. And by the way, this was an article on these two items of the feminine genius that she brings up. It was by Teresa Barber from Alatea. That's where I got this article from, and I think it was really compelling. So she mentioned, in terms of a woman's attitude being personal, she mentioned a lot of benefits to this personal tendency. So she gave an example of politics, where politicians on both sides of the aisle were trying to pass a bill that would benefit the children of that country. The men, now this may be a mischaracterization of men too, because not all men are like this, but the men of their parties, they got too hung up in what she called the abstract. In other words, they were too hung up on the party line, whereas the women politicians were able to put aside their differences to work together to get something done. So she said, this is St. Edith Stein, the authentic feminine longing to remedy human need, i.e. the children, was victorious over the dilemma of party viewpoint. Do you have any thoughts on this, Karen?
Well, I think she really states it very accurately. And authoritatively, just like women's attitude is personal. And it is true. I mean, women are, they will take the flag up the hill and die on that hill. Hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It has to be a particular hill.
Yeah.
But, and I think in order to work for the common idea, the good. Yeah. So, I mean, think of any type of issue. Think of a current issue. Think of how how women in our world can be divided on abortion.
That's a good point.
But
that's a really
good
example.
They feel very passionately about both. And sometimes it just takes, an empathetic listening and understanding a conversation to bring someone to the truth. But, when you think about it, that's why, it's a really cool insight she has there.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. It's pretty deep. And you're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So let me just say one thing else that she said about this. This is St. Edith Stein, and she talked about how a woman's attitude is personal. And the benefits to this can accrue in a lot of different fields, such as medicine, education, bureaucracy. She mentioned politics. Anywhere there's a risk of the abstract taking precedence over living, breathing people. So just this might be a dumb example, but in medicine, you might have a doctor who is too clinical and doesn't have a good, quote-unquote, bedside manner, isn't as empathetic enough with the person, that sort of thing. So that's an example of that. Now, here's the pitfall, because remember, for each one of these qualities, there's a corresponding pitfall that she gives. So here's the pitfall for the fact that women are personal. She says, watch out for taking subjectivity too far towards yourself or others. So let me unpack this a little bit. So she wrote that the drawback to a personal approach is that a person might take it too far in a bunch of different directions. So one risk was a quote-unquote bias to secure a woman's own personal importance in a way that dulls realistic judgment. So she warned against a yearning for what she called unlimited recognition, such as, now I've never seen anybody actually do this, but she says some people blindly insist that others recognize one's husband and one's children as superior to others. Now, do people actually do
this?
Oh, my husband's hotter than yours. You know, like, do people do this?
Really,
I don't know.
I haven't seen that either. But maybe she had a particular instance in mind when she used that.
I'm sure people do this, maybe not in so many words. Oh, my kid's smarter than your kid, you know, but well, maybe, they probably do imply it at some level.
Yeah, it's a sub-competitiveness, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yes, come on. Women can be very proud of their families.
No doubt. You know, and most of the time, they have good reason to be. And yeah, we're all proud of our kids, right?
Yes. Everybody, when it goes into bragging, it's a problem, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right.
and sometimes we're not super objective, right? It's like
right. We're in a bubble.
You know, I know a lot of my friends are teachers, and they literally say every single parent thinks their kid should be in the gifted program.
Yes.
And everybody's gifted at some level. Yes, we do know this, but anyways, maybe they shouldn't have gifted programs. That's another topic for another day. But here's another quote from her as well. So she also says, this is part of the pitfall that St. Edith Stein gives, an inability to endure criticism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now here's a quote from Edith Stein. This is such a great quote for our modern day. Here's what she says. Along with this risk of excessive self-importance comes a risk of excessive interest in others to the point of a perverse desire to penetrate into personal lives. This obsession with other people's affairs does justice neither to the self nor to the humanity of another, and risks taking time away from other much more important responsibilities. End of quote. That is like the quote for the social media age, for sure.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that we just went from the hashtag humble brag on social media to now just Facebook depression by looking at everybody, you know, fear of missing out on everything else. So she was really way ahead of her time on this, especially women, you know. Mm-hmm. Who uses social media more? Probably women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any stats, but
I bet you're right.
Who seems to be hurt? Their feelings be hurt most sometimes in these kinds of interactions. Yeah,
yeah, interesting. So this, I thought it was an interesting quote too. This perverse desire, she calls it, to penetrate into personal lives. And what I was thinking about, I don't know if you saw this last night, Karen, but the big interview that Oprah had with
Harry and Meghan. Boy, people are commenting on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like crazy.
That was huge, huge topic of debate online and in the news today. Mm-hmm. And in case you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you were, I don't know, maybe your power went out last night. I don't know. But Oprah had an interview. Oprah Winfrey had an interview with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle about why they left the royal family, what their new life is like in America. And Oprah paid a lot of money for this, by the way. Oh, no, Oprah didn't pay for this. CBS paid for this. CBS paid somewhere between $7 and $9 million to Harpo. And Harpo is Oprah's production studio. And by the way, I thought about it for a minute, and I realized that Harpo is Oprah spelled backwards.
Yes, yes.
So I'm on to you, Oprah.
You didn't know that?
I'm smarter than I look. I figured it out. No, I knew that.
She said that from the beginning.
But yeah, yes, that's right. That's right. I know. I was just trying to be funny. But anyways, I found that. So apparently Harry and Meghan Markle didn't get any cash from this, but Oprah did get a lot of it. And hopefully she'll give it to charity. Who knows? But having said this, a big topic of the interview was how cruel the British tabloids were to Meghan. And just, you know, all these accusations were made about her and all these things were said about her. And I think the British, you know, press is probably the worst example of this perverse desire to penetrate into personal lives, as St. Edith Stein said. And she revealed during the interview, Karen, Meghan Markle did, that she contemplated taking her own life because of all this. And a lot of people are saying, oh, no, she didn't really plan on doing this. She's just saying this for publicity. I don't buy that. I think she was being very genuine when she said that.
Right.
I do believe that's true. And I think she said it because she's trying to help other people who might be thinking about doing the same thing. But it was interesting, too, because she said that one thing she had to do when she moved into Buckingham Palace was that she couldn't go anywhere without asking permission from, quote unquote, the firm. You know, it reminded me of that Tom Cruise movie, The Firm.
Right. The firm it's strongly Maverick. Encourages.
That's right. And it is Maverick Monday, after all.
Right.
So we have to shoehorn a Tom Cruise reference
Slider.
Somewhere.
Yeah. You stink.
You need to get some
That's
other
the only time. One we have. Okay,
I know.
Come
I was just
on.
Gonna say, Lucas, you need to get some other Tom Cruise sound bites. You can't use
you
that for
two
everything.
Characters are going to Top
okay.
Gun.
Okay.
All right, okay, enough. Uncle. Anyways, but one of the things that she said was she kept talking about the firm, which was the apparatus, the administrative apparatus of Buckingham Palace, who's kind of in control of a lot of things. And if you've seen The Crown, I think it was that character, yes. Michael, who sort of runs the show. I think his name was Michael. Anyways, sort of her CEO, if you will, the Queen's CEO. So at any rate, so when Meghan checks into Buckingham Palace, she literally had to give up her car keys, her passport, her driver's license, all of her stuff. It's kind of like being booked into Joliet Prison with the Blues Brothers.
Wow.
I mean, it was something else. Anyways, I just thought, you know, all the That's example A, exhibit A of this perverse desire to penetrate into personal lives. All the talk,
the obsession with the royals, and yes,
and even the reaction to the interview last night. That's a great example of that.
Right.
So are people spending too much time doing that instead of other more important responsibilities? Of course.
You know, and you have to think about this as well, as like she's talking about feminine, the female. These what is she calling these? These attributes. But I mean, in some respects, we all have, you know, feminine and masculine thinking. So it doesn't necessarily mean that this is just isolated to women, but it would be, why does a person obsess on, you know, pride or, you know, tearing down another or, you know, being busily involved in someone else's business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, we all are, you know, at risk of having flaws. So,
of
but
course.
Yes, this does Absolutely. Seem very familiar in the world of women.
It sure does. And by
sorry,
the way,
sorry, everyone, I'll apologize on behalf of all women on International Women's Day. That's coming from a Karen too. So there you go.
Oh, wow. So, that's right. Just double down on it. So
let me just,
well, by the way, our crack researcher on our staff here, Patrick
yes.
Alog, who's screening calls for us, he has come up with, as I knew he would, the stats on social
what
media
does Patrick
use.
Not know?
So he knows everything, and he also has
great.
A strong Google account. So
strong, yes.
Yeah. So, anyways, so according to Patrick, and I'm blaming this on Patrick, 56% of Twitter users are male. So slightly higher to male on that platform. 55% of Facebook users are female, as of January 2021.
Right.
So there
Still
you go.
Pretty almost evenly split.
So it's pretty evenly split. Yeah, it is.
I think of Twitter as more male than Facebook being more female, too. So.
I think you're probably right. And obviously the stats bear that out.
Probably
at least
just all women. Yeah.
I don't use it, so I don't know, man. I've got a
it's
face made for radio.
And, Yeah, no.
But speaking of social media, I know a lot of people are on the show account right now, at Cale Clark Show, and also maybe my personal account, at Cale Clark, and they're tweeting at us who their favorite female saint is for International Women's Day today and why. And you're not allowed to use Mary because, of course, she'd be number one on all of our lists. So yes. just for a variety's sake, we're going to – and I know a lot of you guys are on hold right now, 1-888-914-9149. We will get to your calls right after this break. Plus, so this is going to be really short. We'll be right back. So hang on. And we'll do it. International Women's Day on the Cale Clark Show.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Lucas, you really would have impressed me if you played the theme song from The Firm. I don't even know what that is, but it's the.
That's a good one. Yes.
Is it a good one? I don't even remember the theme song from
it's
The Firm,
kind of
but
like piano-ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jazzy,
it's kind of creepy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'll set us right up.
It's very fitting. Well, listen. Welcome to The Firm. This is the Cale Clark Show, and Karen Moran is joining me today on International Women's Day. We're talking about International Women's Day, of course, and your favorite Catholic female saints. We were talking about St. Edith Stein before the break, but there are a lot of people on hold. And once again, that phone number to call, 1-888-914-9149, if you want to tell us your favorite Catholic female saint. Now, the only way to play this game is you can't use Mary, because we all know we would pick Mary number one. So I just, you know, what are some of the other Catholic female saints that you like? Why are they important to you? Give us a call, 1-888-914-9149. We also have Twitter as well, at Cale Clark, and the show account, at Cale Clark Show. Follow them both, and you can tweet at us. We're going to read some Twitter responses in just a minute, but let's go to the phones right now. Nathaniel is calling from Lewis, Colorado. Nathaniel. In you, there is nothing false. You're a true Israelite, I think, Nathaniel, as Jesus said.
Well,
right?
Thank you. I doubt it, but I do my best.
Absolutely. So what do you got for me, Nathaniel?
Well, I'd say St. Therese, the little flower, she really helped our family out. My wife's uncle, he had a stroke, and they said, you know, oh, well, you know, he's probably not going to talk again. He may not even live, you know, another day. And it was on her feast day. So the family and I, you know, we got down, prayed to Divine Mercy, and asked St. Therese. Mm-hmm. We said, hey, you know, it's your feast day. We're asking for your intercession here. And the next day, he was sitting up in bed. He was able to talk and swallow, and it was, you know, really, it was a miracle. And I absolutely guarantee it was through her intercession.
That's amazing. She's, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people would say she would be their favorite female saint outside of Our Lady. So popular, and it's so incredible that she died at the age of 24, never left the walls of the convent, but yet she became one of the world's most popular saints. It's just unbelievable. With this little way, this opportunity to turn every little action into prayer, and she's a doctor of the church as well. This is so profound. She's a doctor of the church. This is such a profound truth that we can find holiness in the little things, and that's just amazing. So thank you very much for that call, Nathaniel. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
You got it. Thanks. That was Nathaniel from Colorado calling in. And what's interesting, too, is that the parents of St. Therese, of course, were also canonized, including, of course, her mother, whose name was Zélie Martin. Mm-hmm. And she actually thought she was God was calling her to the religious life, but she quickly discovered God had another plan. She married her husband, who, of course, became St. Louis Martin. Together, they had 9 children. 5 of those children survived infancy. Infant mortality was pretty high back then. 5 of their 9 children survived, and these 5 surviving girls all became religious sisters, one of whom was, of course, St. Therese of Lisieux. How about that? So,
amazing.
Pretty
She's
fruitful.
My confirmation saint, too. I like that.
St. Therese.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's great to see the parents getting some credit as well, credit where credit is due. Like the canonization of a set of parents is really important in terms of being role models for people out there.
Yes.
Because that's a vocation as well unto itself, marriage and fatherhood, motherhood. It's so huge. So that's really important as well. All right, let's go to, who else is here? Paul is calling from Ohio. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're most welcome.
I wanted to say, during Lent, my favorite female saint is Saint Mary of Egypt. And also Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus.
Wow. And what is it about those saints that grabs you the most?
Well, I think with St. Mary of Egypt, it's her repentance, her way of life, how far she had drifted from God, and how for the next 30 or 40 years she repented,
yes,
and how close she was able to draw back to God. And with Mary and Martha, just the way they both responded to Christ, you know, one sitting and listening to his teachings, the other trying to serve him, and both in their own way, you know, trying to do what they felt was right.
Yeah, I think that's well said. That's really great. And I think that the active life, the contemplative life that we see in Mary and Martha, we need to kind of combine that in our own lives, don't we? We can be active contemplatives, really. We can be contemplatives in the middle of the world, as St. Jose Maria said, that we can turn our work into prayer. There's a lot of similarities between what he taught and what St. Therese taught with the Little Way and what Vatican II taught, you know, this vocation to holiness that's for everybody. This is how we do it. This is how we do. No, I won't sing that. But this is the point, that we can find God in the middle of the world. And some are called, of course, to the religious life, to go to the mountain, if you will, and pray for the world. But for the vast majority of us, we have to find God right where we are. And that's a great thing to say there. Now, Saint Mary of Egypt, that's wow, she's a fascinating saint. And as Paul mentioned there, she was a true person of repentance. If you know the story, it's kind of a salacious story. She became a prostitute when she was a teenager, and she really was trying to create what she called anti-pilgrimages. She tried to tempt people, men who were on pilgrimage, to commit sin. And wow, can you imagine this? So she was really being used by the enemy for this, and she tried to lure holy men away from the path of pilgrimage into a life of sin, but she encountered an icon of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and that changed her life. And she spent the rest of her days doing penance for her sin and living life in the woods. She literally went into the woods and lived this contemplative life. So, wow, it's quite a story, St. Mary of Egypt. So I'm glad somebody brought that up because she's quite a striking saint in a lot of ways. So, Paul, thank you very much for the call. That was Paul calling from Ohio, and lots of people are calling in. We will get to your calls as much as we can as we go along here. And Karen, what about on Twitter? What are people saying on Twitter about their favorite female saint?
Kale, we have a lot of responses here. A few. Kate says there's so many great female saints. Saint Catherine of Siena ranks high on her list. Saint Agnes, and it strikes her as quite poignant that the first two professed Christians were women. Mary and her cousin Elizabeth. The Samaritan woman at the well as an early missionary. That's a great observation.
That's a great point. Yep.
Yeah. Philly Catholic, our good friend on Twitter, says St. Catherine of Siena is high on his list. She was a layperson, a Third Order Dominican, a mystic, doctor of the church, and convinced Pope Gregory XI to leave Avignon for Rome, all before dying at 33, like Christ. Quote, she's a rock star.
Absolutely. Well, listen, by the way, Philly Catholic, I want to give a shout out to you. He's a great friend of the show, follows the show. His name is Philly Catholic on Twitter if you want to look him up. And he's been in the hospital. He's back home now. He had a bout with diabetic ketoacidosis. I don't know exactly what that is, but it sounds pretty bad. And I know that he had a rough time in the hospital. He's home now. As he tweeted at me earlier today, he said, Relevant Radio was a great companion to him. The shows while he was in the hospital really helped give him a lot of hope. So we're glad that we were able to be of service to you. And he says that after being in the hospital, he felt like he had a hockey fight with Bob Probert. and really, he should have said John Scott, because Big John Scott was on the show on Friday, big friend of the show. And he was the heavyweight champ of the NHL in his day, of course. And so glad you're on the mend, Philly Catholic, and thank you for tweeting, and God bless and heal up, okay? So, yeah, that's a good one. What else? Anybody else out there?
I like Bobby Gordon's reply. He doesn't come up with one, but nine. So
All right.
He's like your top nine.
Let's read them out.
St. Faustina, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Anne, St. Elizabeth, St. Martha, St. Cecilia, St. Joan of Arc, St. Clair, and St. Rita. All great, wonderful women. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of there is a caller, unfortunately, the call dropped. We lost the connection, but Linda from Silver Spring, Maryland, called in to say St. Rita of Cassia was her favorite saint. And Brittany from Buckeye, Arizona. I didn't know there were Buckeyes in Arizona. I
thought most of them were really close by.
I thought most of them
were close by to me.
I thought most of the Buckeyes were at the Ohio State University, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Oh, okay, a little attempt of humor there. Anyway, so Buckeye, Arizona, Brittany, she is a big fan of St. Cecilia as well. So,
yeah, so. It's so great when you get to know the stories of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
They become really a part of your prayer life. And, even just remembering their name kind of touches your memory, their story, their witness. So definitely dive into getting to know all of the saints. It just enhances your prayers.
It really does.
In a really powerful way. They're just waiting to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
St. Gertrude the Great, mm-hmm. that's one that's kind of popped on my radar lately.
I was reading, I found an article about 25 great women saints, and there was a St. Gertrude that was mentioned. I don't know if it's the same person as St. Gertrude the Great. Perhaps you can enlighten me on this, Karen. I'm just trying to... St. Gertrude of Nivelle. That's not the same person, is it?
I'm not sure.
I'd never heard of the saint before, but St. Gertrude of Nivelle actually, and this is very common back in her day, that when girls were very, very young, they would be pledged in marriage to somebody in the future. So when she was only 10 years old, she was proposed to. Now, I'm not saying she wouldn't have been married at that age, but it would have been set up for the future. But she said, no, I don't want to get married. I don't want to marry anybody because my bridegroom is Christ. And her father actually, a lot of fathers would try to marry off their daughters, but her father actually helped her in this regard, had her hair shaved in a tonsure to assure that no man would attempt to take her as his wife. So not exactly landing you on the cover of Cosmopolitan or, Harper's Bazaar with a tonsure, right? That's not the hairstyle that's going to get you noticed. So, but she later became an abbess, and she is known as apparently the patron saint of cats.
Oh, wow.
So she is no friend of mine, let me tell you, because we're dog people, right?
We're kind of a dog-friendly show over here. I don't have a problem with cats. But
no, I don't either. We once had a cat. We had a cat for a while. Fought too much with Egbert, so we had to give her away.
Rehomed the cat.
She's very happy now. She weighs about, she's living large. Let's put it that way. But yes, your cat doesn't even like you. They run under the bed as soon as you come home. It's totally different when you have a dog. Anyways, I'm only kidding, cat lovers. I don't want a deluge of emails from cat lovers, so I'm only kidding. Cats are wonderful. But let's go to the phones right now. Christy is calling from California. Christy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How about you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thanks for calling in. And who's your favorite female saint?
I like Saint Zita from Italy.
Saint Zita.
It's like Rita with a Z, but she was Zita, yes, patron saint of domestic workers, and she believed in doing work and being busy for God. So it was to fight the sin of sloth, but I love that in all my work and all my busyness, that whatever I'm doing, it's for God. And I actually, when I was married, I added her name onto my middle name as my patron.
Wow.
And if it's okay, my six-year-old daughter would like to share who her favorite saint is.
Sure, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, come on.
My favorite saint is Saint Athanasia.
Wow.
Saint Athanasius?
He can heal people. I heard.
Okay, and what's your daughter's name?
My daughter is named after... My daughter's name is Athanasia.
Athanasius. Oh. So this is Saint Athanasius. That she's named after.
Yes, well, named after Saint Athanasia. She was a mystic.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I've never heard of Saint Athanasia. Wow. So this is an education for me too. And I did hear a story about Saint Zita though, and apparently this is a true story or an urban legend, I'm not sure, but she was a domestic servant, as you mentioned, and she used to obviously try to make daily morning mass whenever she could. And she would, her job was to bake bread for the Fatinelli household where she was employed. And one day she was late getting back from Mass. Maybe the homily was too long. I don't know. But she came back into the kitchen and she thought that people were going to get angry with her because the bread was not ready. But instead she had found that angels had come and had made the bread for her. So I don't know. You probably heard that story, but being a big fan of St. Zita, but I had not. So thank you, Christy, for calling in.
All right, bye.
Okay, thank you so much, Christy. That was Christy and her daughter calling in. Sound like they were on the road out in California, but really appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Well, listen, Karen, I just wanted to speaking of what she said there with domestic work, I just wanted to get back to St. Edith Stein, because some people, I don't want to leave you guys hanging, because we said off the top that St. Edith Stein mentioned two particular qualities of the feminine genius that were outstanding, or that were of note to her, but there was also a flip side to them. There was a bit of a pitfall that we all have to watch out for on the other side. And so the second thing, which we didn't get to share, I wanted to make sure that we did share this, was as follows, and it was the second feminine genius quality, according to Edith Stein, in woman, there lives a natural drive towards totality and self-containment. Now, what does she mean by this? One of the things that differentiates men and women, according to St. Edith, was a tendency towards wholeness and completeness, which she says comes more naturally to women. And here's what she means by this. She said that men may easily experience a one-sided development as they focus on one area of work or one area of study that they're really into, almost like a tunnel vision in a certain sense. Whereas she says women are more likely to lend towards completeness. Now, is this always the case? Is this too much of a generality? I don't know. But she sort of says that a woman seeks to become, quote, a complete human being, one who is fully developed in every way, and also makes it a point to do justice to the complete human being whenever she has to deal with persons. I don't know if that struck you in any way, Karen.
Yes. Okay. I have two daughters,
okay.
And my poor husband is like a man among many women. Well, when they were young, and they're adults now, they're twins, and so my poor husband was like nothing, and then all women in the house, right? Women tell stories, get to know everything. They want a woman helping someone wants to know the whole story.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do justice to the complete human being whenever she has to deal with persons. So they're, and men are very like, just give me the facts, you know?
Hmm.
One, just let me know the cash value. Let me have the, let me know what the bottom line is.
So, yeah, no, of course, this is a bit of a, you know, it is a bit of a generality, of course. Like there are guys who do care about, you know, the little details as well, of course.
That's true. We say so many words more than my husband. So.
Well, they do say that. Like on average, women say, I don't know how many hundreds of words more than, or thousands of words perhaps more than men per day, just speaking wise. They're more verbal in general. It's certainly true of my daughter. She's going to be a trial lawyer, I think. My goodness. But anyways, well, we'll talk some more. Speaking of talking, we'll talk some more on International Women's Day on the Cale Clark Show right after this break. But just to hook you in, just stay with us for a few moments. We'll be right back. We're going to tell you about the pitfall of this thing, this being complete. There is a downside to it that St. Edith Stein tells us about, and we're going to tell you after this break. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's The Cale Clark Show. It is International Women's Day, so I'm joined by Karen Moran to talk about this from a woman's perspective. And for all the fellows out there, mark your calendars. There is an International Men's Day. Can you believe this? It is Friday, November the 19th. So, okay, we'll get our
Don't
cigars
let it sneak
ready
up
for
on
that.
You, you know?
We got to plan
we'll
something huge
no
for this. Yeah, it's going to be a huge party. We'll do it up in style for sure. But one of the things we were talking about before the break was St. Edith Stein and how she said that part of the feminine genius is that in woman, there's a natural drive towards totality, towards completeness, kind of a holistic approach, if you will, doing justice to the entire human being when a woman deals with another person. And there is a pitfall to this, though. She said there's a downside to this attribute, if you will, and it's this. She called it a mania to know everything. Okay, if you're going to deal with people in completeness, she said you got to watch out for a mania to know everything. So what does she mean by this? She says that this is kind of the inverse or the false perversion of this desire for totality, to skim the surface of everything and to plunge deeply into nothing, in her words. That's a good line. Mm. To skim the surface of everything and to plunge deeply into nothing. So it's good to avoid an overly narrow focus, but it can be taken too far. And if you stay too superficial, you're never going to get a grasp on a topic. What do you think about that, Karen?
I think that's a good point. I think that's very true. Golly, we're so busy in our lives that it's easy to get in that habit of just feeling like you know everything, but really not going further than the surface. So, you know, it's sort of, if you've ever, I guess, thought about the brain and women, how we have our brains are constantly back and forth over the, what is the amygdala, the thing and down the middle, and men are like compartmentalized, you know.
The thingamajigger, yeah.
The
yeah,
thing and thingy in the middle, I don't know.
The amygdala or the amygdala or something. Yeah.
Yes. It is kind of interesting that she would have this insight. I mean, it's so
true. That's a good point. That's a good point. Is that backed up by physiological research? That's a great question.
Maybe.
Wow, I never thought about that before. But she does say, though, St. Edith Stein says that here's how to avoid the temptations of becoming imbalanced, you know, on these attributes and their pitfalls. Not going to extremes. You know what she says? Her cure for this is, she calls it, women should do, she said, thoroughly objective work. So she actually encouraged women to seek out meaningful work. And that could be anything. It could be anything. It could be, in her words, and I quote, running a household, because that's a very important profession. A lot of people think, and I hate it when women say, I'm only, you know, a stay-at-home mom or something, like they're embarrassed about that. No, that's like the most important job in the world, to be a mom.
That's my love language. Deep cleaning is my love language.
Well, it's very practical and loving.
It's preparing. It makes people feel that you've prepared for them, and that's just what I do. In addition to the radio stuff, but
that's right. When you're not an international radio star,
I'm mopping floors.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, and obviously, husbands can and should help with those things as well. And that actually can believe it or not, for a lot of women, apparently that is very good for the romantic side of the relationship. I'm not going to say any more about that, but if
the
you
Mr.
do laundry,
Clean commercials, still in our minds from Super Bowl a few years ago.
Well, I don't even remember that, but. It sounds pretty risque. I won't Google that one.
It was just a soap commercial. That's all. Okay. Anyway, moving on, Kale.
All right. Well, hey, the soaps, right? They can get kind of steamy. And anyways, having said that, but St. Edith Stein talks about women in the trades or in the sciences. Yes. We do need, obviously, more women involved in STEM, as they say, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Need more representation there. And also, anything else, really, anything else. And she was a professor in her own right. She was a great scholar. And she said that work can actually help a woman, no matter what that kind of work is. That almost doesn't matter, in a sense, because any honest work can be sanctified. That kind of work can help a woman, she says, to attain an inner depth and she says, a basis for self-control. She said that every young girl should receive a basic vocational formation, and after this formation, she should be able to hold a position which completely fulfills her. So fulfilling work is also interesting. And sometimes the fulfilling comes from the way you look at it, for sure. Mm-hmm. But there you have it.
Straight from Labora.
Yes. Aura at Labora, work. Right? Prayer and work.
Yeah, you can take anything, but anything that you do and offer it as a prayer, but make it more meaningful.
Absolutely. I think that's really important that she said that. So St. Edith Stein, a great, great saint, a modern saint that exemplifies the feminine genius. And she was also a martyr as well. So unbelievable
life.
Kale,
today is International Women's Day, and I looked up in my little book of saints. Today is, and she is also known as Saint Benedicta of the Cross, right? Is that Saint Benedicta of the Cross? Saint John of the Cross feast day today.
I thought it was Saint John of God.
A lot
of people.
Wrong.
It's Saint John of God. Yeah, producer Lucas just whispered.
Darn.
Honestly,
cool.
I get those two confused all the time.
You're right. It is Saint John of God.
I used to think they were the same guy, so don't feel bad. Trust me. What do you mean? There is no such thing as Saint John of God. He's Saint John of the Cross. No, it's a different guy, Cale. No, I've been through that. Trust me.
It's two guys.
it's two different guys. But
good.
They're both great. Fantastic.
Very good.
Well, let's try to squeeze in one more call here. Deborah is calling from Iowa City, Iowa. Welcome to the show, Deborah. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. My candidate is Saint Joan of Arc.
Saint Joan of Arc.
I'm reading the Mark Twain.
That's awesome.
The book about St. Joan. And he really portrayed her sanctity as well as her, I think she has that desire of totality.
Can you expand on that a little bit? Maybe was there something that stuck out to you in the book?
Well, she had to know everything in order to lead people into the battle. I mean, she didn't know anything. She had to find out from her people who were closer to her. She had to find out about putting herself on, defending herself in a trial. She had to, anything she needed to know, she had to find out.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like what she was tasked with is pretty incredible. For those of you that don't know much about the story of Joan of Arc, it's funny that you mentioned the book by Mark Twain about St. Joan of Arc. Patrick Alog was just telling us off air that he's read the book and it's incredible. So that might be a good
one for
anybody out there looking for a good saint biography of a female saint. So she was known, of course, as the Maid of Orleans, and she led the French army in a war against the British in 1412. She was only 18 years old, and she regularly had conversations with other women saints like St. Catherine of Siena. So, and lots of movies have been made about her, and there's one called, I can't remember what it was called, but it's driving me crazy. Karen, do you know the one I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, I haven't seen any of the Joan of Arc movies, but yeah, there are a couple out there that have come out in recent years, but yeah, she's a big one for sure that a lot of people would know. Even, of course, outside the church, a lot of cultural significance there for St. Joan of Arc. So, Deborah, thank you very much for that. Thank you for listening to the show as well.
Is it Messenger?
The Messenger, that's right. And who was in? What was the name of the actress that was in that?
Man,
I'm losing my brain cells like so fast these days. I used to be like, Trivial Pursuit for me wasn't just a game; it was a lifestyle. I could remember any of these arcane facts. I'm losing it now, but anyways,
you're very busy dad.
I want to say Mila Jovovich was the actress, but. I don't know, maybe Patrick Aiken. Oh, I'm correct. Hey, all right.
Ding, ding.
All right, I'll take female saint movies for 100, Alex. we could keep it going here, but no, we're out of time. No, there it is. but we are out of time on the Cale Clark Show. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun today talking about female saints on International Women's Day. So look them up. Lots of inspiring saints out there, ladies. And there's so much that we can learn from them. To be sure, and the greatest of all, of course, is Our Lady, Mother of Our Lord. And we ask for her intercession on this day as well. May we imitate her faith. Lucas Holt produced today, and Karen Moran basically co-hosted today in a lot of ways and also worked social media on the show.
Just sitting in with you.
I enjoyed the convo for sure, and Patrick Alog was that friendly voice on the other end of the line when you called. So we will be back tomorrow. Timory is up next. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. If you missed an episode, check the podcast out. Oh, give us a rating on iTunes. Not iTunes, but it's called Apple Podcasts now. Helps people to find us. We're also on the Relevant Radio app and relevantradio.com. Anywhere you get your podcasts, really. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.